Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up, and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by SoundMind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with... It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here. Checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button if you're not already. You're going to get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week from Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do leave the series a rating and give a review wherever you're listening from. Those always help out so much. We've had some fantastic guests on recently, including documentarian Morgan Neville. He's the guy behind the films 20 Feet from Stardom, Won't You Be My Neighbor, Anthony Bourdain, Roadrunner. He's back with a new one on Netflix called Breakdown 1975 that we got to talk all about. We had some great conversations with Emmy Lou Harris, Lori Morgan, Ayanna Lee. She stars in Highest to Lowest, the new Spike Lee joint. Paul Feig, director, back with The Housemaid, starring Sydney Sweeney and Amanda Seyfried. The Runarounds on Prime Video, Darcy Carden. She's part of season 3 of Loot on Apple TV. Juliana Hatfield with her 20th album, Lightning Might Strike. Lou Gramm, lead singer of Foreigner. And the cast from Fraggle Rock. That's what you can get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, I'm talking with actor Walker Scobell. You know Walker. He's the lead. He's Percy Jackson in Percy Jackson and the Olympians. We've also seen him in The Adam Project, Looking Through Water recently with Michael Douglas. We're going to be talking all about jumping back into the role that changed everything as Percy Jackson in the Olympians, especially as it went into its bigger, more physical second season on Disney Plus. He'll open up about stepping away between seasons, actually how that actually made him a better actor, why this second season demanded more stunt work and endurance, and how growing up in real time really messes with audience perception of where he might actually be at this point in his life. Walker is also going to talk about working opposite Michael Douglas in the movie Looking Through Water. We'll discuss learning on the fly in fight choreography, scenes that took weeks to shoot only to end up on the cutting room floor, and why improvisation can suddenly become canon. Plus, he's going to tease season three moments with Kate McKinnon. That's right. She's going to be in season three. They're already doing some shooting. And talk about sharing scenes with other comedy heavyweights. All that's and so much more. Such a fun conversation as we discuss Percy Jackson and the Olympians. It's Kyle Meredith with Walker Scobell.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Fantastic.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. How you? I guess I already asked.
Yeah, we did that part. Yeah, but I'm still doing well in the second sense.
Good.
I can't imagine how many times you've had to do that exact same little banter at this point, considering you've been on a press tour for months.
About, I guess it's been like 3 weeks. Yeah, like about a month, which is like insane to think about. But yeah, I guess I said that a couple times.
Like, how many times can you answer these same questions? I feel for you. Anyway, I do.
Thank you.
Hopefully this is getting to the end of it for you.
I think this is like, yeah, I think this today is just, this is it for me.
Well, let's do the dance then. Let's get into this. Season two of Percy Jackson. It's a lot of fun. You guys are killing it again. And you get to return to the character, right? Like, did you take time between seasons to kind of think about it, to analyze it? Do you do that kind of thing?
When I'm, like, you know, working, when I'm there in Vancouver, all I think about is just Percy Jackson. So I think, you know, when I got back, I think, you know, I was not, I kind of, you know, when I'm filming something, I film it. That's all I'm thinking about. Don't think about it at all other than, you know, when I'm out there. So I think I kind of just went right back to, like, school. I went back to, like, my life and then or my other life, I guess. And I don't know. But I think, weirdly enough, that was like the best prep I could have done because I got back and I was refreshed and I was ready to go. And I think the best, I would say, you know, acting practice that I do or like, you know, to, I guess, you know, get better. I think it's just like watching people and just like living your life and seeing how you deal with different things and like how that makes you feel. And yeah, so it's like, I don't know. I think I kind of prepared myself without thinking about it.
That's commendable too. That's I don't know if I'd have been, like, how much time was there in between?
We wrapped in January. I had from January until the end of November, and then we started the season one press tour, and then season two started in July of the next year. Prep started.
Right. I guess that's what I mean. Like, I think. Like, good on you. I wouldn't have been that strong. I'd have been going back and like, oh, I've got to change that and I've got to do this. But that's probably the smarter way, what you did.
Well, it's, I mean, I'm never not, you know, even though I you know, try to not think about it at all. I mean, I'm always, there's always a piece of me that's like, you know, I'll say something in my real life and I'll be like, wow, like that reminded me of like it reminded me of like a scene I did in season one. And then I'm like, oh, that's coming out. People are going to see that. And I could do that so much better now. And now that it's coming out now, they're going to think that like that's what I can do. But I could do so much more than that now.
Right.
But the only thing I could do at the time. So it's like, that's the difficult thing about a big show. With like, I think a lot of CGI is that it takes a really long time, for it to, you know, fully be to be done or completed. So I think by the time it comes out, it's like you're a completely different person. And, you know, in everybody else's mind, like, this is new. And to you, it's like, this has been a thing for like the last couple of years. So it's, especially with season one, like it took a really long time to film and a really long time to, not a really long time, but like a good amount of time to come out. But I was in like the, you know, peak growing stages of my life. So I feel like by the time it came out, I was just a completely different person.
Like, you were sort of thrown in the deep end too, right? Like, that's part of your backstory. Like, you've technically been acting at this level for like 3 years now or something like that, 3 or 4 years, I guess. Like, and so you're right, so much does change in that amount of time versus the public perception. Like,
no,
that's
totally
crazy.
Yeah.
But you make it look so natural. And I mean that as a compliment too. Like it is noticeable because yeah, we, of course, we see people grow up. We see you guys grow up between season one and season two, but it is noticeable how natural you make it once you know that part of your story. So
thank
that's
you.
Yeah. And I guess that's what I mean by
Like, it's really interesting to know that you weren't just like chiseling away at that between seasons.
Yeah, I think a lot of people try to keep themselves in it year round, and I don't know. I just don't think that works for me, I guess, because I feel like I need to not, you need to be you sometimes, and I think when you're doing a show like this, it's easy to just not to just be that other guy all the time. So I think, it really helps you. I think the more you grow as a person, the more you grow as an actor. So it's like to just be you for like even like a couple months changes the way that you act. And so, every opportunity I get to just kind of drop it out of my mind and just think about something else for like even like a week, I do that because I come back feeling even better and wanting to work even harder,
And we'll be right back right after this. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, New Year's resolutions can feel overwhelming when they're about reinventing yourself. But the new year doesn't require a new you, maybe just a less burdened you. And therapy can be a powerful tool for that. It can help you identify what's weighing you down or holding you back through an unbiased perspective, so you can better understand your relationships, your motivations, and your emotions. And that understanding can lead to real change. For me, one of the things I'm always working to let go of is the pressure to have everything figured out all the time. Personally, professionally, creatively, that idea that you're supposed to always be moving forward with total clarity, that can be heavy. Learning how to unpack where that pressure comes from, that can make a real difference. And that's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. You can just fill out a short questionnaire about your needs and preferences, and they do the matching work for you. With over 12 years of experience, more than 30,000 therapists, over 5 million people served worldwide, they typically get it right the first time. And if they don't, you can switch to another therapist from their tailored recommendations. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Walker Scobell.
Now, I know with Looking Through Water, did that happen before or after this second season?
So again, it's like the classic, like it took a really long time to come out. That happened. So I did, season one wrapped in January. That June, before the strike, I filmed Looking Through Water for a week. Just a week in Massachusetts. And that was like, it's like the quickest. I'd never done a movie like that. So it was, and that was like, I think that was Michael Douglas's last movie so far, I think. And I don't know. That was a crazy experience. And that was, again, so long ago. And then it comes out like right before season two. So it's like,
So now it's tied now to this moment more than it was for your moments.
Exactly,
because that's the next thing you've done since Percy Jackson. Like that's interesting. Like there's weight put on that, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's like directly connected to me now. So it's hard to and not that I did. I liked the movie a lot. I thought it was great, and especially Michael Douglas in that movie. He did such a good job.
I mean, Michael Douglas. Come on.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
I annoyed the shit out of him. I'm sorry. When we were filming that, I just had, because I came off season one and like we had all these, guest stars and, a lot of the times we were filming not something like something that wasn't that stressful, but this time, like, Michael and I had like pages and pages of dialogue to fit in a couple days on this boat, out in the water, we couldn't stand up. We couldn't like stretch, like, stretch out like our legs. So we were stuck in this boat or he was stuck with me. And I was asking him like every possible question that I could think of. And now looking back on it, I'm like, I just feel so awful about that.
That's Michael Douglas going, that's it. I don't want to do any more movies. I can't do it.
I genuinely think that he decided to retire because of me.
That's it. Because of you. That's
yep.
It's going in the history books. That's dude. No one can blame you. If I was sitting on a boat with Michael Douglas for a week, I'd be doing the exact same thing.
I mean, like, there's so many questions to ask. You can't not, like, I don't know. You got to make the most of that, And I definitely did.
And you know what? He's teaching in the movie, so we might as well teach in the right. Yeah. So Well, bringing it back then to Percy. So you go into this, and you already mentioned it. The CGI thing, but this feels like so much more of a hands-on season. Like, I don't know if that's me remembering the first season wrong, but something about this, I was looking at it going, man, this looks like so much like more of a physical season than the first one, was it?
Definitely. There was a lot. It was not even just like, you know, the fights. There was a lot of stuff that was just very, I don't know, every scene there was some kind of, I guess, like overhanging threat. So it's like, even if we weren't like actually running or doing something, it was like just having to like keep that in your body, like the, you know, the stress of it while you're filming just like drains you. So, you know, and there was a lot of stuff, even watching episode three, we did like a week of sneaking around this like corridor, you know, like doing like, you know, we're all low and like, it, you know, it's really tiring to do that kind of stuff. Just completely cut out of the show. We were watching it and I was like, when am I going to like, when are we going to do the thing where like we're hiding behind the door and like sneaking through and all that kind of stuff? It's just not there.
Nothing. All that work.
The most tiring like week of my life. Because we were filming this in this like actual, like this old refrigerator. It was this massive, like where they used to store milk. And so, you know, it was connected to where we see all these demigods training in that one scene. But it was freezing cold. It was like the middle of winter. And we're like sneaking around and like rolling on the ground, getting up and like make sure nobody can see us, all these different angles. And then it just cuts from us, you know, getting out there to like having the laundry bin already. but here's the thing. It's like, you know, I don't think even if I knew that was going to get cut, I wouldn't have tried any, you know, less hard on that, because it's like, you never know what's going to make it. And you never know, you know, what is, because there's times where I'm like, oh, you know, there was, I'm not going to say the scene, but there was one little moment where I was like, there's no way they're going to use that. I was watching it. They definitely used it. And I was not, you know what I'll say? We did this improv for that, you know, the Boone thing where I'm like, oh, what's a Boone? Boone? Like, what's that? That was just like a random little, because James, I don't know, James is like, James Bowman, he's like a genius. And he kind of, I don't know, we went back and reshot some scenes in episode three that connected to this. But on the day, he was like, I guess he was just planting a seed for that, you know, episode. And he was like, try like, I don't know, just like, just improv a little bit, the Boone. I don't know, it's a funny word. Like, just, you know, make some stuff up. And like Leah and I, like, you know, it's the very beginning of the season. Neither of us are very warmed up on stuff like this. So we kind of just started saying a bunch of rant. And then it kind of just made it in. And I was watching that and I was like,
you're not even warmed up yet.
Like, I would have thought of what I wasn't prepared.
And now it's canon.
Now it's part of the Percy Jackson universe. you always got to be 100% because you never know.
Do you do the training like between episodes as you go along, or does that all happen before?
Well, it's, you know, since I am a minor, it's really difficult to find the hours to, because, you know, I'm working every day almost, and it's really difficult to find hours to do all that stunt training. So what we normally do is go out for like a month before the season. We go to Vancouver and we just do stunt training. We just like, you know, do the training. We normally get like, you know, by that time we have the first like two fights and, you know, in the first episode, the second episode or something like that. We have that all like set up and ready to go. And, you know, we train a bunch of times and we're totally, you know, completely on top of these two fights. But then after that, it's like impossible to find time. So, you know, even filming season three, it's like the hours that we're all, you know, working, especially because there's a lot of night shoots and a lot of stuff like that, it's like impossible to squeeze in even a little bit of stunt training. So I end up just like learning the choreography like the day before on set, like in between setups. I'll just like run it through. And, you know, that's also why I'm so thankful for that month of prep, because I learned so much and I feel like I kind of got, you know, you just kind of get used to having a sword in your hand and moving with it. And I don't know. So it kind of just becomes a little bit of muscle memory. And then, yeah, it's interesting too, because watching my stunt double move it like in the same outfit that I'm wearing. And he also kind of, we move very similarly. It like triggers my brain to make it think like I know what he's doing. So sometimes I'll just be like, oh, I thought I knew this part of it, but it's just because I watched him do that a couple times, so it's like already in my head.
That's also part of that, like the movie that you see versus the movie that we see, kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
and we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Walker Scobell.
But I don't know. I mean, that could probably like lend itself to like giving more humanity to the performance, I guess, if you're not overly practiced. Totally. If that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. And since we're working with, you know, most of the time, I get, you know, in season three so far, and even in season two, like all the Les Stragonians and everybody, like they're all like professional stunt guys. So there's, I've never, even when they're swinging these like clubs in my head or throwing, you know, I guess CGI dodgeballs at us, I'm never, you know, scared to fight them or, you know, do any action sequences with them because they're so good at what they do. I feel like I'm safer fighting them than I am just like doing any normal scene.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to quickly bring up, you know, you got the cast, because you get get some fresh cast every single season. And some of those names, by the way, because I saw Kristen Shaw and Timothy, you know, what he's doing in there. These are incredible actors, but they're coming onto your show. Do they look to you at all? Do you feel like the expert at all in those moments?
I never feel like the expert at anything. but I don't know. I guess I don't know. I don't know if they look to me. I have to remind myself to not, like, you know, when we have like Timothy Simmons, like, and Kristen Shaw, like they're both hilarious. So I think if anything, I'm like less on it because I'm trying not to laugh. You know, we recently casted, this is a season three thing, but we recently casted, you know, Kate McKinnon as Aphrodite. And, you know, during those scenes, I felt awful because, you know, the camera's, you know, right here on her. And I'm like, we're doing the scene. She's improvising a little bit. And so I do the entire scene just covering my face so I don't like laugh or like don't like smile at all. And she just like works right through it. So or like she'll say something and I'll start laughing for like 2 minutes. And she'll just like just keep talking, like stay in it, and then it'll make it worse for me. And that's the same thing happened with like Timothy Simmons and Jason Mantzoukas. It's like the reason I'm not, you know, cracking jokes back is because I'm trying not to laugh, because you know I don't even know how their brains work. It's insane.
Just wait until the director says just improv with them. Just throw you in that deep end.
I'm not ready for that at all. I don't know if I'll ever be ready for that.
I remember reading about Kate, you know, signing on to it for season three, and of course she's, you know, she's one of my favorites. She's one of the greats out there. She's probably got in my top five favorite like SNL skits of all time. You know, that's, I cannot imagine working across from her, I guess is what I'm getting to.
Which one are you talking about? We might have the same favorite one.
This is not one of the most of her famous, but they were redoing Casablanca. Reshooting Casablanca. It was the extended scenes or a director's cut or something like that, and she's with J.K. Simmons, and it's just her reactions to what he says is one of the the hardest I've ever laughed in my life. My wife and I still quote it to this day.
That one was hilarious. I mean, you know, before I even worked with her, I you know, I already knew a lot of, my favorite skit from her was that one with Ryan Gosling. The aliens,
right? Yeah.
that was hilarious. And so I think I kind of went down the rabbit hole when I started looking at all of her stuff. Yeah. Which honestly made it worse, like harder for me to work with her, because I was thinking about her doing these like these sketch or I guess like skits while I was working with her. So it didn't help me at all.
Well, good on you. I can't wait to see that scene and how it plays out next season. That's I want to see it on your face, or not on your face anyway. Anyway, it's such a great show, and what you guys are doing, and everybody's swinging for the fence on this. So congratulations on not only another great season, but the end of a press tour for you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. It was good to talk to you. Hopefully we'll do it again next season.
Yeah, hopefully. Happy holidays.
And my thanks to Walker, Percy Jackson, and the Olympians, out now on Disney+. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here to keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music and bonus interviews, lots of music news. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Prince, Bob Dylan, The Clash, Simple Minds, Tori Amos, Sabina McCullough, R.E.M., Brandi Carlile, The Smashing Pumpkins, Jack White's Nation of Language, Spoon, Madison Cunningham, The Decemberists, and my interviews with Gaeta Matarazzo, Finn Wolfhard, and Joe Keery, all of Stranger Things. That's what you can hear when you tune in weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like, follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'll see ya.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.